Hello, Fuji lovers. Tomasz here, and this is another episode of the Fuji Love podcast, which is brought to you by the Fuji Love magazine. On today's episode, I am talking to Gary Perlmutter, event and street photographer from the UK, and one of the very, very first contributors to the Fuji Love site and to the Fuji Love magazine. I hope you will enjoy our conversation with Gary.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, Gary. Welcome. Welcome to Fuji Love Podcast. It's a very, very funny situation because you are one of the very, very first contributors to the Fuji Love website. I checked this just before this recording. Do you know your first article went online March 10th, 2015?
Yes.
And by today you have 21 articles on the Fuji Love website.
I know. So, myself, yes.
And it's really funny. It's really very, very first time we are talking, right? Yes. We are emailing and you know chatting. So welcome to the show. So nice to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Maybe just very briefly, could you tell our listeners a little bit about you? I mean, as a photographer, what are you into? What are you doing? You know, is it your main profession?
Yes, it is. It's 100%. Well, I say photography certainly is. It's split between taking pictures and teaching photography. So, with I would say probably 80% being the actual taking and 20% teaching.
Okay, and this taking, I mean, I was looking at your portfolio, and so I can see you are doing actually different kinds of photography. You
yes.
are doing weddings,
yes.
portrait, corporate portraits, mm-hmm. and then you are also doing and teaching street photography, right?
Indeed, yes.
And so, go ahead.
No, and as well as street, I mean, street, well, we'll talk more, I'm sure. As well as that, for one particular private school, I do teach beginners how to use the SLRs and also Lightroom.
Okay.
But my main focus, if you pardon the pun, is probably street photography workshops.
Yeah. Okay, so you're keeping yourself pretty busy, I think.
So,
and is any of these areas, you know, like closest to you, most important to you, of all those, you know, photographic, you know, tasks you are dealing with on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Is something most important?
Well, I guess what I've realized now, because I've had a long career in photography, I'm actually 61 years of age these days, and
that's young.
Thank you. And started way back when I was about 17, doing sort of advertising commercial photography, but which was a lot of still life stuff. Mm-hmm. But the common denominator now, undeniably, is people. That's what fascinates me. That's what I get the best reward from, the best feedback from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I say people, so it can be like, as you mentioned, like weddings and portraits, but that obviously leads me to street photography, teaching photography. The common denominator is definitely people.
I was really looking forward to this conversation because, as you know, I'm also shooting some street, but
yes.
also I am doing occasionally, not so often as you do, I'm doing some weddings and events mm-hmm. and also musicians. So. Mm-hmm. It's all about people. I mean,
yes.
street anyway. And so I wonder, what are your thoughts on this? Because, yeah, I find it fascinating that those areas, you know, they kind of like, it's like a crossover kind of things, right? That things I am learning on the street, you know, observing people, their reactions, body language.
Yes.
I am able to use in those other areas. Does it work the same way to you?
Absolutely, Tomasz. Absolutely. In fact, I never did weddings when, say, I don't know how many years we're going back, say 10 years or more, when weddings were really just pose shots outside a church, that type of thing. The mm-hmm. only reason why I started getting into weddings, say, in about the last 8 years was because people wanted more, you know, reportage, stroke candid, whatever you like to call it, type of photography.
Right.
Capturing the moments, which mm-hmm. to me is what street photography is all about. And I know some other, you know, I know one of the people we both know, Kevin Mullins, who I share the same thoughts as him in that street photography helps hone my wedding photography and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the end also, when I am going out and photographing a wedding, I don't really like feel differently. It's kind of the same approach. There are people
yes.
around.
Yes.
there are people doing things, there are people talking, you know, with their gestures, with their face expressions, and it's just everything actually about capturing this you know, exactly. decisive moment,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, exactly that, yes, indeed.
So the weddings were first and then came the street photography, or was it opposite?
No, street photography has been a passion in my life since I was about 15, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but personally, I don't like the heading, if you like, street photography, the term, because mm-hmm. if you talk to people perhaps who aren't photographers, they say, why are you photographing streets? So it's more documentary, isn't it? It's more about photographing life. And one of the first street photographs I took when I was about 15, which I didn't realize was called street photography, was just something humorous that I'd seen. I rang up the local paper. They thought it was so funny. They wrote an article about me and put it on the front page. So, you know, it's been something that I'm interested in all my adult life, if you like.
Mm-hmm. I'm also struggling with this kind of definition. You know, but when you go out on the streets, like with your camera today, mm-hmm. what are the, you know, main things? What are the moments? What are you looking for there on the streets? What fascinates you?
I would say, you know, again, when I teach workshops, street photography workshops, we say that street photographs don't have to have people in, but most of the time they do. Mm-hmm. And so it is people. It's not just necessarily unusual faces or whatever. It's unusual things happening. Things that someone else has quoted as saying is like seeing the unseen, mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. scenes that people don't notice in their daily lives, but we as photographers or street photographers do. And it's about capturing those moments, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As you said earlier, decisive moments. And I particularly like humorous moments. If I can capture humor as well. Then
right. I saw some pretty funny shots of yours. Yeah. What kind of street photographer are you? You know, this is also a popular, you know, there is this kind of types of street photographers, you know. Mm-hmm. Are you more like the one who's... pre-visualizing things, you know, or like, you know, waiting for certain things to happen, or just really reacting and quickly photographing what you know, what happens in front of you?
Yeah, good question. Actually, it's a mixture of both. I think the ones that just happen and quickly reacting, they involve probably a lot of walking around and just hoping that something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The other type I do is where perhaps I spot a particular background or something that I feel is going to look good in a picture. And then I get like a, I suppose you could say, an idea in my head, like a flash of inspiration or whatever, that I'm going to need someone doing, I don't know, let's say talking on the phone mm-hmm. to give me a good juxtaposition with the background.
All right.
And so I'll wait if need be. I'll wait uh-huh. almost as long as it takes for that to happen.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, so you're kind of mixing...
I mix the two.
Both approaches, yeah?
I definitely do.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. And when... on the streets... You live in London, right? Is it correct?
Yeah, just outside, northwest London.
Uh-huh. So are you often in the centre of the city also, or you're rather in your area?
No, I mean, yeah, I think if I went out on the street in my local neighbourhood, I'd probably be thought I was spying or something, because I'd be the only one out there with a camera, so... I catch the underground, the tube, metro, whatever you like to call mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. and I go into the centre of London, which is very easy for me to do, and that's mm-hmm. definitely my main hunting ground, if you like, because it's okay. accessible.
Mm-hmm. And how is it in England, in London? I mean, exactly as you just said, it can be very different probably in the, you know, center of London and then in a smaller neighborhood. It's always fascinating for me because really when I talk to different photographers from completely different, you know, parts of the world, mm-hmm. People on the street react completely different to a guy with a camera, you know, walking
yes.
around. How is it in London? Is it a difficult thing to do, or rather, you know, remaining invisible is something easy?
Yeah. I don't generally have a problem. I get, if you get noticed, you just get a look. And as I say to my students, just smile back and it stops any sort of altercation. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really have a problem. I can, you know, I've done it for so long, I can take photographs quite unobtrusively.
Mm-hmm. So, are you someone who grabs your, you know, the shots very quickly, or kind of, it's obvious. I mean, you're a guy with a camera in your hands, or you're kind of, you know, just putting the camera quickly to your eye, shooting the shot and going on.
Yeah, I have my, whatever camera I use, I try to have it set up almost like a point and shoot, almost, dare I say it, like a smartphone, so that the only thing I'm thinking about really when I take the picture is the composition. You know, I don't have to worry about fiddling around with settings. So it all happens very quickly, if I say.
Okay. So, yeah, you're using the Fujifilm cameras. Since when? When did you... Because, yeah, like you said, probably... So you started with analog cameras and all of that, right? You went through everything, I can imagine. Was there a system, like, you know, the other brand you used to use, like, most of those years before switching to Fuji?
I think, well, professionally, certainly for the last sort of 8 years, I was using the Canon 5 series. They were good, you know, full frame, good quality, no doubts about that. But... they didn't have personality, shall I say. It literally was a work tool for me. That's all it was. It wasn't something, you know, you thought, wow, this looks great. This feels good to use. It was literally just like a workman uses a chisel or something. So I was always looking for, I've always been looking, like the Holy Grail, really, for a good street photography camera. And, I first noticed Fuji, I suppose, when the X100 came out in, 2011, wasn't it?
You're right, yeah.
And I bought one very shortly after that, sort of love at first sight, shall we say.
Okay, yeah, like many stories, right?
Yeah.
Similar stories like this. So this one, and today you're shooting everything with the Fuji?
100% now, yes.
Also your professional gigs and, okay.
Yeah. Sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I finally switched over when the X-T2 came out.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, which camera made you, you know, to do this final, which was the final, the last straw, you know?
Yeah, that was it. When that came out, I thought, right, at last I can ditch the Canon gear. Prior to that, on professional gigs, I was shooting in tandem, if you like, you know, Fuji in one hand, Canon in the other. And but with the X-T2, I felt, no, I can do this just Fuji now. So so the Canon gear is no more.
Okay. And so was it mainly the, you know, those tactile characteristics of those cameras, or was it the image quality and character of those Fujifilm cameras? What made you so, like you say, that you fell in love at first sight? What was it mainly for you, or what is it mainly about them?
It's got to be because I'm old school, because I've been in this... doing professional photography for so long, and as you mentioned earlier, using analog cameras, it was the reassurance that there with a Fuji, you could pick it up, and with most of them, you can see what you've set the shutter speed to, the aperture, the ISO, without even turning the thing on.
You know? Right.
So that was the first thing that really attracted me to it. I think they look good, and having those controls immediately falling to hand definitely sold Fuji to me.
Okay. And are you using the Fuji JPEG files, or are you, you know, shooting in RAW on the streets and then converting them?
I do shoot both. I tend to shoot JPEG and RAW. I don't particularly like editing pictures, but I find that you always will get some more detail in a RAW, or more, dynamic range, shall we say, RAW file, than you do in a JPEG. As marvellous as the Fuji JPEGs are, I don't want to just rely on them. I definitely shoot both, particularly for my professional work.
Okay.
Yeah. Like weddings. You can't, with a wedding, you've got no get me out of jail card. You've got to get it right, as you know. And so RAW files can save you because of the extra latitude in editing. Just in
Now, so you teach workshops, right? On street photography.
Yes.
I was recently talking to a friend, you know, a friend actually, a good friend of mine, bought his first Fuji camera. Yeah. So, I mean, I was doing my job here, you know. So I convinced him. He got the actually the X-T1, I think. And he kind of, you know, is interested in yeah, let's call it as, you know, whatever it means, street photography. And he came to me, you know, with the camera. I was helping him a little bit with the settings and so on.
Yes.
But then the biggest problem he has is, you know, he's afraid. He's just afraid going out there on the street. He's afraid what people... And, you know, he has a good excuse also. I think street photography in Switzerland is one of those, I would say, the most extremely difficult places. People here are very sensitive when it comes to the private sphere and so on. So it's actually, if you master street photography in Switzerland, you can, you know, photograph wherever you want. But if you would come to you, you know, and he would say, yeah, I'm afraid, you know, I am afraid of what people will, you know, think, what people will say, maybe they will jump on me. And
yes.
So what would be this first tip for a person like this, your tip, you know, when it comes to getting out there on the street?
Well, obviously, probably maybe not so obviously, when I teach people, that's usually the biggest fear they have about street photography. And we're almost the first question, how do I solve that? And a lot of that is in their head, actually, because people are so busy these days, lead such busy lives that people tend not to notice. And what I say to my students is, try doing this in a busy area, first of all. Like in London, we've got Oxford Street, which is mm-hmm. teeming with tourists. So practically everyone's walking around with a camera of some sort. You're not going to stand out. They'll just think you're another tourist. So that's usually my first tip. I also say, as mentioned earlier, that smile. You know, if you look like you're doing mm-hmm. something suspicious, people will be suspicious of you. But if you do get spotted and you just smile back at them, that usually disarms them and they just carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of other tips. I mean, there are techniques that I teach people that help, but other tips are have some business cards made up that say just street photographer. And then if someone does stop you and engages you in conversation, you can say, look, hand them a card and say, if you email me, I'll email you a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And
does it actually work? Does it happen to you?
Yeah, it happened. It happened only once, but it worked, you know, okay. And it disarmed
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
And I know some people like to carry around those, the little Fuji Instax printers
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that they can always, if they get challenged, give someone a print. But, you know, if someone says, I don't want my picture taken, please delete it, then it's not worth having an argument. Just delete it, you know.
And keep the picture on the second card.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Well, but then once you publish it and the person finds out, then maybe you're really in trouble, right?
Yeah, well, maybe. But you're right. The twin card slots of the latest two cameras does help.
But, you know, when you mention, you know, this, this is a great tip, of course, the busy areas, you know, touristic areas. So you kind of, but still, you know, if you are actually aiming the camera at particular particular person, people are more and more aware, I think, of also because the, you know, mobile phones and everything.
Yes.
I still find it a bit problematic. I mean, I still find it difficult to really remain invisible, especially when you are hoping for eye contact of the, you know, person being photographed.
Yes.
This, when this moment happens, of course, the person already knows, right?
Yeah.
He or she is being photographed. Yeah. So I have to say, I am struggling still with this kind of moments, you know, from time to time. I have different days. Do you also experience different days? Some days I feel more confident.
Yes.
And some other days I want to, like, you know, hide myself and run away.
Yeah, well, there are days like that. And also, as I say to my students, I say, if you take a day out to do street photography, even myself, you know, after all these years, it can be the first hour or so. It's like warming up. It's like a golfer warming up on a golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you need to take a few shots to get braver, shall we say. And one thing that really helps is, and I know you succumbed, I believe, recently, is the X70 with its lovely articulated screen.
Right, this is... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as on the X-T1 and 2, of course, is that you can always shoot from the waist, you know. Because what notifies people that you're taking the picture more than anything, obviously, is bringing the camera up to your eye.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that students do, that gives it away, is the moment they take a picture, what do? They straight away look at the screen.
Exactly. No chance then, right?
Yeah. And I say to them, you've got to get out of that habit. You know, if you just take a picture, don't glimpse, keep the camera to your eye, let the people walk on, they'll just think you're photographing something else. But if the moment you click the shutter, you straight away look at the screen, you've given the game away.
You have to really practice these things, right? Yeah, I also noticed, for example, one of the techniques I am using, probably you too, I can imagine, is, okay, if I'm photographing a person standing in front of me, you know, mm-hmm. like whatever it is, 5-10 meters in front of mm-hmm. me, let's say he or she is on a phone or just reading a newspaper. So I'm taking the picture and, or maybe a couple of them, or maybe I'm waiting on some particular expression. Mm-hmm. And then actually it comes to this moment where the person looks up and looks at me and realizes that, okay, I'm standing there with the camera. I keep standing in the same position and kind of looking behind him like I'm photographing something else.
Yes.
It really works. They get confused.
Yes.
But you really have to keep looking behind the person and, you know, and like kind
absolutely.
Of faking
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I've had people say to me, oh, should I get out of the way? You know, am I in the way?
Exactly. Yeah, but it all needs really practicing. It needs, you know,
cool.
Yeah, you have to have some guts.
yeah, you know, what I say to my students, street photography is one of the most accessible forms of photography. It's also one of the easiest ones to do, but it's one of the most difficult ones to do well,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In my belief. So.
Do you have some, you know, personal gurus or, you know, masters from the past you really look up to or kind of, you know, admire, like when it comes to street photography now?
Well, one of my all-time favorites is Elliot Erwitt.
Mm-hmm.
I think because he's got a great sense of humor and that comes out in a lot of his photographs. So okay. I certainly yeah. like his. More contemporary-wise, Matt Stewart,
yeah.
English
yeah.
photographer. Oh. Very mm-hmm. much mm-hmm. like his work. And again, mm-hmm. the humor that he brings out in his photographs. Mm-hmm. But I try not to... much against what a lot of people say, I try not to look at too much other people's work because I find I'm too much like a sponge.
Yeah, I know the problem. Exactly. I was about to ask you, how do you deal with...
if I look at a Martin Parr book for the next 3 days, I'm photographing Martin Parr. You know, so.
Exactly the same happened to me. You know, I visited New York and,
yes.
you know, I went in the bookstore and I found this book of Saul Leiter.
Yes, yes.
Till today, I can't get out of this mode and I kind of, you know, even subconsciously, right? It's
yes.
like, it's, you know, trying
oh,
to...
Oh, absolutely, edit. Yeah.
And at some point, it's also annoying, exactly. So,
yes.
Yeah, like you say, but yeah, I think to find this balance is very difficult because yeah, we need yeah. this inspiration, but at the same time...
You need to find your own style, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Okay. Nice, nice. So, and so what is the camera you're using the most these days on the streets?
On the streets, it's definitely the X70, the little X70.
Oh, it's also the X70, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I went out the other day, I took a course on Tuesday in London. I had my X-Pro 2 around my neck and my X70 with a wrist strap on my wrist, and I didn't switch the X-Pro 2 on.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It has a pretty special focal length, right, of the lens?
Yes. Yes, it's a bit wider than I was used to shooting with, but you do get used to it in the same way that I never thought I'd get used to shooting without a viewfinder. But again, for street photography particularly,
mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
find it a pleasure. And I have got used to it. And it's just so small and light, you can carry it everywhere. You know, there's really no excuse not to have a camera with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really, this is the smallest one, right? And it's
yeah.
the same sensor. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you getting really close to people with it? Like,
well, you have to get a lot closer with the 27 with equivalent it. Or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yes, you do. Because if you look at my street photographs, they're not taken from afar in any shape or form, whether with a long focal length lens or whether people are small in it. For me, it's all about being on the same street as them, literally, just a couple of meters, a few meters away.
Mm-hmm.
So... you just have to get more used to it. But the
right.
wide angle lens does help because, like you said earlier, you can almost have someone in the corner of the frame and they're not even realizing that you're photographing them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas if you had a 35 or 50 mil equivalent on your Fuji, the camera's going to be pointing more at them.
Right, that's correct, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So you mentioned before you have kind of your settings dialed in
yeah.
For street. Is it okay? Could you reveal them, like the settings?
Yeah.
I mean, we will send the people your way anyway for your workshops. So, but just to tease them. I'm mainly wondering about the, because I am experimenting a lot with different shutter speeds.
Yes.
Do you have your shutter speed fixed?
Yes. It's all about maximizing the hit rate, shall we say, that pictures aren't sport because of camera shake, because you move too quickly to get that thing suddenly happening in front of you, or motion blur because someone's walking too fast. So I try, you know, London's not the brightest city.
Exactly.
In the world, so the light's not as good as some places. So, but I managed to work at, say, 250th of a second, usually at least, outside.
Okay, but this, you are talking, this is during the daytime, right?
During the day, yes.
As soon as it gets darker, it's not doable, actually. No,
then you have, and you know, I'm keeping the aperture at f8, because I'm zone focusing. That's what I do.
Okay.
With it. And I let the ISO, I leave that on auto, and I let that move up and down to get the correct exposure. So, in other words, shutter speed and aperture are set manually, and the ISO is moving around to give you the correct exposure.
Okay, yeah.
Which, you know, yep. You know, with the Fuji, the ISO at higher numbers is very acceptable.
It's very acceptable, yeah. That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we when it comes to shutter speed, people often tend to forget that when we are walking on the streets and photographing people, we have, two parameter, two motions combined, right? It's us walking and it's the people walking. So actually, yeah, we have to be really careful with the with the shutter speed.
I mean, on a sunny, if I'm abroad or somewhere that's really sunny, then if I can increase that shutter speed higher still, then I'll do it. I would rather have use a faster shutter speed and the ISO still coming out at 1600 or 3200 than have a slower shutter speed just to drop the ISO down, and then the shot's ruined, as you say, because too much movement one way or the other.
Gary, great. We could talk forever. I think maybe you could tell our listeners, so your workshops, how often do, where can people sign up? How often do you run them, and where should they go, you know, to find out more about them?
Okay, thank you, Tomasz. Well, as far as workshops are concerned, I do one-to-ones these days for street photography, and they can find that on my website, photographymasterclasses.uk.
We'll link to everything, yeah, in the show notes.
And then otherwise, the main people I teach for are Calumet, which is a camera dealer in the UK. And that's if people would prefer groups. There I teach up to about 10 people at a time. We do a day street photography workshop. So it's a question of whether people want a one-to-one situation or whether they want to be in a group.
All right. I think a one-to-one situation is a real luxury. This is something great because then with a guy like you who knows it all, actually, you learn the most, right? And if you can, somebody can spend a couple of hours with you on the street, I think it's a must be great experience.
Well, it's, as you say, one-to-one, you can't beat that. And street photography really is not the sort, it's not a sport you can do in a pack, you know, with a number of
people. Exactly.
You know, it does work better. You know, even if you start off in a pack, I tend to split my students up. Because they're more likely to get better results than if they're just following each other around like sheep.
So, great. And your wedding portrait photography, where can people have a look at your work?
That's garyperlmutter.com.
Great. Yeah, fantastic, Gary. We did it. After 1.5 years, we talked to each other. This is really nice.
Amazing.
Thanks so much once more for all your articles. I mean, people are really enjoying them.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to the next one. And have a great light. Have some great shots. Do you photograph every day?
No, it's not every day because obviously there's editing, there's meetings, etc. But it can be a few times a week. It just depends. It ebbs and flows, you know.
But you have the camera with you every day, right? No excuses now. You
no
have
excuse.
The
camera. Not with the X70. No excuse.
No with the X70. Exactly. Gary, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Have a nice evening. And hopefully we talk soon again.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, really thanks good. So much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.